You're listening to The Profile.
Hi, welcome to The Profile podcast. I'm Andy Peck. For the past 17 years, I've been interviewing Christian leaders in the church and charity worlds and in the wider culture. It was John Maxwell who famously said, "Leadership is influence." It's our prayer that these conversations will help you in whatever spheres you have influence for God, whether in the home, at church, in your workplace, or elsewhere. The show is brought to you by Premier Christianity Magazine, the UK's leading Christian magazine. Get full online access and the print magazine every month by becoming a subscriber. See special offers available now at premierchristianity.com. You probably recall the time in the Gospels when Jesus met with James and John, and they suggested that they should be either side of Jesus on his throne. The text says that the rest of the 12 were indignant, but unseemly though the discussion was, it led to Jesus correcting their words. Jesus says that leadership in the kingdom is of a very different caliber to the world around, and pointed out that he, the Son of Man, did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Fast forward 2,000 years, and it would seem that many Christians in leadership have forgotten what Jesus was saying. Someone keen to redress the balance is Steve Robinson, the pastor at Cornerstone Church, Liverpool. He's written a book outlining what true Jesus-shaped leadership looks like. The book is entitled Serve, and I'm delighted he joins me on the Leadership Show. So welcome, Steve, to the Leadership Show.
Thank you. Good to see you.
A little on your background first. I'm talking to you in Liverpool. This is where you grew up.
Yeah, I actually, the area that I live now and the church that I lead is in the area where I grew up. So I've never moved. So it gives us lots of opportunities as well. And people remember me when I was younger. Well, but thankfully, I didn't do too much too wrong. So it's okay. So I'm born and bred in Liverpool. I'm married to Sean. And we have four children, Ella, Lily, Elijah, and Joshua. And I'm the pastor of Cornerstone Church, Liverpool, which is... Our church building is just off the famous Penny Lane that the Beatles sang about.
We have a worldwide audience and they'll have heard of Penny Lane, no doubt. So
absolutely. If anyone wants to travel to Liverpool, they're more than welcome to come and see it. It is the most disappointing street in the world. I think they're expecting a lot more.
Well, there you go.
When they come, so yeah. So I've been a Christian since I was young. And by God's grace, grown through different phases in life. He's been really kind to me in many different ways.
And Steve, the title of your book is Serve. Do you remember a moment when you thought, hey, I'm going to want to serve God? Was that when you came to faith or a bit after? Or
it's interesting, really. I grew up in a Christian home, but both my parents, they had no Christian background at all. They both became Christians when they were teenagers. And so I'm like second generation Christian in a home. And we were part of a wonderful church that we didn't have a church building. So basically what happened was we had a very small church building, which we outgrew. So everything seemed to happen in people's homes. And then I remember at a young age, I was about 9 or 10, we started renting a school. And my dad was one of the deacons and his job was to set up church every single week. So he dragged me along. So I'm lifting churches and moving churches. So on one level, from that perspective, helping in the church and serving in the context of church on a Sunday, that's happened from a young age. But what I grew up in and I was immersed in the waters of serving. My parents loved Jesus. They're at home. We had people in our home all the time. And as I've grown and as I've matured to see that everything the Lord gives us and everything that we experience are not accidents. The things that He sovereignly has planned for us, and He shapes us, and we can use them, whether that's our strengths, our weaknesses, our experiences, and by God's grace, that's happened. So, to answer your question, I can't think of a particular moment, but there are times, I think, as I've grown, that the Lord has provoked me, and obviously, I've made some decisions about leaving particular jobs to go and become pastor. And serve in particular ways, but there's been there was no specific moments. I'm just thankful that I've been around people, especially with my parents, who it's just been second nature to them to serve Jesus in with what they have and who they are.
No, it's good to hear, Steve. And you were in the police. It used to be called force. It's called something different now, isn't it? Police force, police. You worked as a policeman.
I think it's called police service now, is it?
Police
something
service,
like
that's right.
that? Service, yeah. Got to take away the force because we don't want to, you know, we don't want the criminals to feel up too uncomfortable. Clearly you got my feeling on that. Yeah, I became a police officer when I was 19 years of age. I left school at 18, ended up working for the police as an administrative assistant. And then 9 months later, I actually joined the police force, which is what I always wanted to do. Apart from being a professional footballer or soccer player, depending on who's listening, I realized that wasn't going to happen. So I wanted to join the police. And I was the youngest police officer, I think, or one of them, definitely the youngest police officer in Merseyside. So I was 19 years of age. I went from being a schoolboy to a man overnight.
Wow.
With the things to deal with and the power that you're given in terms of what the law gives you as a police officer, but also money and different things. And it was a really refining time for me, also a difficult time, but I did thoroughly enjoy my time. And I served as a police officer till I was 25.
And it's a great metaphor for service, isn't it? Because you have a authority given by the law as Jesus gives us authority for service.
Absolutely. And you know, and again, you know, the tensions that came with being a police officer, especially young, but also the tensions that when you give somebody that opportunity and that the power, I guess, to some extent, there are tensions and how you use what has been given to you in for good and unfortunately at times, I guess, and we see it, don't we, for ill. And I guess that also happens when we think about how we serve. Are we serving from our own self-centered nature, or are we serving to bring glory to God and the good of the people that we're seeking to serve in those contexts? So, you know, my time in the police force, obviously, that is a good metaphor for that. You know, at the end of the day, I made an oath when I was a police officer that I would serve the Queen at the time. And the community. So the call, or you know, the vocation of being a police officer was very much outward, primarily, and that's the same for us as God's people, in the sense that we serve Him primarily, but we're serving Him to serve outward, so His glory and His character is reflected in how we live and serve other people.
Steve, you write in the book about the replanting of a struggling church in Liverpool. Which became Cornerstone eventually. You know, some people think it's actually better to kind of kill off a church and then start something new than it is to replant it. So tell me about the change agent lessons that you picked up as you were reworking an existing church. It must have been very tough.
Absolutely. So I, after leaving the police force, I went and worked for a Christian a relief and development agency. So I spent a lot of time in Eastern Europe and Africa, particularly. And I was working with churches, and those churches were planting churches in their cities with no money. And they were just had this real heart and desire. God did a work on my heart. So my initial calling, I think, was to be a church planter. But the road that happened was that I ended up being asked if I would go and be a pastor of a small brethren assembly. They had 15 people. So for them to ask to have someone as a full-time pastor was a big change for them. That conversation ended up in me taking a team and working alongside the existing eldership and the existing membership of the church. And God's been very kind to us in that. It's interesting what you say in terms that people do say it's easier to give birth than raise the dead. I think that's tends to happen, and I guess to some extent that's true, because you know, if you're looking to plant a church, it's easy. You have your own easy. It's not easy. It's very hard. But what I mean is, you can have your own thoughts. The team can be united when you're trying to help people change, and the pain of that, and trying to point people. That's been particularly difficult. But one of the things that I think really helped me was that when you read in Revelation chapter 1-3, what you see is the Lord Jesus pursuing existing churches. Five of those seven churches were struggling. Some of them realized, some of them didn't. And the Lord was pursued them. So I had this inbuilt conviction that this was the right thing to do. And God was incredibly kind. And also, I think He prepared me, working in the police force, And I worked with a lot of volunteers who were elderly when I worked for the charity as well, that prepared me to engage in this context.
Wonderful. So, Steve, you've spent time thinking about serving and obviously writing this book. What were you hoping to accomplish in writing the book?
Two things, really. Firstly, it was a book that could be put into the hands of people who are new Christians. I think so often, especially in our context is here, that people are becoming Christians and they have no grid of what it is to be a Christian. They have no grid of what it is to be God's people. And they're hearing terms like service or ministry or you know, serving God in some context. So it was a book so we could put into the hands of new believers to help them figure out, what does it mean for me to now be part of the church and for me to serve God and God's people and, you know, the wider community as well? That was the first thing. But also that the book could be read by people who've been Christians for a long time that may have grown weary with their service. And pointing people to scripture and encouraging them. But also what comes with that sometimes, as we've become Christians, we can become distracted by the cares of the world. But also, as followers of Jesus, if we find ourselves sinning in some way or having some difficulty, that we may disqualify ourselves from serving God. Now, I appreciate there are certain things that may disqualify us from serving certain offices, but never are we disqualified from serving God in general terms. So it was the book to put into the hands of new believers, but also to put into the hands of those of us who are older and may have grown weary in our service, just so they could be greatly encouraged that we have a God that calls us to serve him, and there's a delight in that, and there's a joy in that, and there's blessing in that. And even if all we can do is sit in a chair and pray, we do that for the glory of God, and he is delighted in that.
Steve, you've probably seen the stats of church leaders post-COVID. Many have been close to burnout. Many have been threatening to quit. You've just talked about people being weary. Some people listening will be thinking, This is hard work. Have you got any thoughts from your own personal experience of hitting walls or hitting tough times, and how you rejuvenate your spiritual life, maybe even your physical life?
Yeah, I think for me personally, and I say this not to say that this is a silver bullet in any way, but I think gratitude has been really helpful for me. So the reality is this: when we follow Jesus, he's made the promise that this is going to be difficult for us. You know, we're called to carry a cross, not a cushion. So this is going to be difficult. And if we're looking to serve the Lord Jesus in the context that we find ourselves in, we're going to be, as 2 Corinthians says, Paul says in 2 Corinthians, with the aroma of, with the smell of life for some people, but the stench of death for others. So that's our reality as we're serving. In that context, so I think that's the truth of what is shared, and that could become difficult. But I think also we're also called to be thankful and to walk abounded in thanksgiving. And God, in His kindness, has just always triggered that with me through His Word and through conversation through people. So keeping at the forefront the evidences of His grace, and that could be, you know, in the context of serving, where you know there's no. You know, in my selfishness, I want people to say that I'm doing a good job, or I want to be affirmed in that. But I'm not doing it for me, and I'm not doing it for my affirmation. And I'm just thankful that I have a God that calls me to serve him in that way. So I think gratitude has been helpful for me in those terms. But also, I think at the same time, our weariness in serving can happen because of our hearts, but also can happen because we may be carrying on doing things that may not be right to carry on with at certain times. And I think I've been able to sit down with people and being open with people and ask people to speak in. Is this right for me to continue? And not trying to deal with these things in isolation, but in the community that God has called us to be part of. And I think that's the other thing, is I think we sometimes think that our service and our ministry is what we do individually, when we're called to be a people. And we do that together, and we do that as a body. So in light of that, there's the gratitude, but also this is a communal thing that we get to do, and people can help talk in. So from my own personal experience, when it's been difficult, I'm just thankful that God's put people around me to speak into that. And also he's prodded me through scripture in different ways to constantly be seeking to be grateful for what he's done for me. And I think that helps me in my service, especially when it's difficult.
Steve, you're serving there in Cornerstone Church, Liverpool, but you're also involved in the Acts 29 movement. That will be new wording for some. Tell us about the Acts 29 movement and how that continues to serve other places.
Yeah, Acts 29 is a global church planting network that's about 25 years old now. And Acts 29's heart is to support churches and help churches plant churches in all different kinds of areas. And one of the key things that we do is to work with churches and help them assess people that they're going to be sending to plant churches all over the world. And I've been involved in that since 2010. Acts 29 were of great help to me personally and to our church. And now my current role is that I oversee the work of Acts 29 in Great Britain and Ireland, and I'm part of a European team as well. Church planting is one of the key ways in which the church, I think, is the primary way by which we reach people. So we need to see more churches in places where there aren't churches. And so my heart is for revitalization, and my heart is to see new churches planted. And that's the hope, that Acts 29 can be a catalyst for that, can be an encouragement for that, and can help churches plant in lots of different areas in different ways.
Steve, is there a particular model or approach? Do you typically send a small number of people? Do you need an evangelist? What sort of approach do you typically take?
I think it's different in different contexts. So if you're planting in a, some churches will send, 30, 40, 50 people. They might send a full-time pastor. In some context, it's a guy going in with his family on his own and parachuting into an area and reaching people. In some context, it's bivocational. And I think there are different models. I think we can plant by having multi-congregations, and we can plant by having completely independent congregations in different contexts, and the context also change. So as we walk with churches and help them to assess church plants, we're looking at the whole picture, looking at them, their family, we're looking at the church, we're looking at their vision, we're looking at the context that they're going into, we're weighing up experience and any issues. So it's really in depth, and we walk and coach and help them figure out how best to do that. And there have been occasions where we've said, maybe this isn't the right time for you, and maybe wait and explore different opportunities. So it's not that there is one model. There are lots of different ways of planting churches, I think. So therefore, but it's helping that we are walking in biblical health for the leader and for the church, in order to see healthy churches planted. If a leader isn't healthy, there's a very good chance his church isn't going to be. So leaderships aren't healthy. So part of our work is trying to help them walk in that context as well.
And Steve, some would perceive, whether this is accurate or not, that the so-called working class parts of Britain are struggling more. And certainly geographically, the north of England tends to have fewer churches per head of population than the south. Any thoughts on the, whether that ought to be a focus for the UK church?
Yeah, I want to be careful to say a focus, because I'd rather sort of say that, Paul said, I've become all things to all people, so that by, all means that some may be saved. So my take is the demographic is human beings. So we want to be reaching middle class, working class, and all those contexts. But sure. You're right in saying that the North especially, and within the poorer communities within the North, there are less churches. But there are lots of smaller churches that are dying as well. So the opportunity is not just for planting, it's also for revitalization.
Right.
I think the question is, and maybe the challenge to some extent is, the ministry in those contexts is very different. Now, I'm cautious about using the word hard, because ministry is hard in all contexts. If you're in a middle-class area, it's hard to engage with people. Hmm. Now, to get behind their gates, to get behind their doors, but it may be easier to live there. Whereas right. In the context of a community that is difficult, lots of people will live out their lives in front of others. So therefore, the ministry needs and the engagement, as much as it could be chaotic, you're able to step in to some extent, but to live in those contexts is particularly difficult for lots of different reasons. So again, like I said before, we're called to carry the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And for some, that will be living in particular areas that are on a human level that we may not choose to go. But we need to see churches planted in those communities. We need people willing to live and stay there for the long term. I say to my staff, and in our context, and we're like in a middle class that meets working class, so we're a proper melting pot as a community. And I said, look, what we need in our context, we need you to have a 30-year mindset with your bags packed at the door. So what I mean by that is it's 30 years. Everything you're doing is for the long game, your relationships for the long game, but also recognizing that the Lord could move you on. Whereas right. I think we're recognizing that he could. So my bags are packed. I don't really want to pick them up because I want to be here. But if the Lord says go, I've got to go. So, but I'm having this mindset. But I think we're living in a world that it's all about just the next thing. And even in the Christian world, so people aren't putting down roots till maybe they're older. And often those roots may not be in these particular communities because it's harder. It's bringing up your children. It's particular schools. It's all these sorts of things that people consider in life. Which are important things to be considering, but the reality is this: there are communities all over our country where there are no churches. That means there are many people going to hell. So therefore, do we hear the call of going and planting? And for some, the call is to go to those communities. But I think the call for all is to be praying for and supporting financially, if we're able to, as churches particularly, to see the work in those particular areas flourish and grow. And for us to believe that in all communities, and particularly the communities where people may be less educated, that God can and will use them and raise up leaders amongst them to plant other churches in their communities. I've seen it. I've been part of it by God's grace and part of other ministries around the country where we're seeing that, and the connection through Acts 29 and other ministries as well, particularly in Scotland. And the Lord is saving people that are on human terms. We would not believe for a minute that he could, and he is. And now they're elders and they're leading and they're women's workers and doing children's ministry. We need to be doing all that we can to make sure that these communities don't become forgotten.
Steve, it's fabulous. I think it's a wonderful place to finish. So thank you so much. So the book again is the book's called Serve. It's published by the Good Book Company. So very grateful to you for all that you've shared. And obviously people can find the book either via Amazon or via the Good Book Company itself. So yeah.
Thank you.
It was lovely to chat with Steve Robinson, the pastor of Cornerstone Church in Liverpool, about his book Serve. The book again, Serve, by the Good Book Company. And I'm sure that would be a valuable read. And as Steve suggests, something you can give to those who are new Christians within your congregation. It was fascinating to chat to Steve. I loved his sense of enthusiasm for his work. I love that little phrase that Jesus promised us a cross and not a cushion, to describe the fact that sometimes service is going to be tough and it's going to be hard work. And that's no reason to give up. But he also mentioned, of course, that there are occasions where part of our lack of energy and enthusiasm is because maybe a season is coming to an end. Maybe God has got other things for us to do. So part of the challenge of leadership, of course, is to work out when we just need to plow on in what we're doing and when we actually need to take a step aside and say, Lord, what else have you got for me that might fire up my energy in a different kind of way? Steve mentioned the Acts 29 movement, and if you go to the Acts 29 website, you can see more details of their work worldwide. And if you click on Europe, you'll see a picture of Steve, Bearded Steve, who heads up GB and Ireland elements of the Acts 29 work. So I'm Andy Peck. It's been my joy to host this show and look forward to your company again very soon. Thanks for tuning in.
You've been listening to The Profile in association with Premier Christianity Magazine.
Q. Kick off summer with Memorial Day savings at Lowe's. Right now, get five Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. Plus, get up to 40% off select major appliances and save an extra $50 on every $500 you spend on select major appliances $396 or more. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 5/28. Mulch offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.